Well, I was just pondering on what direction to go. I know we're getting to the close of the end of the year, and we're in the Christmas season, but it just seemed right to go in this direction. I'll just say it that way. I've been walking as a Christian long enough. It just seemed right. Anybody understand what that means? You have a seemer, you have a spirit, and my spirit, it seemed right to go in this direction for some lessons, and then we'll unhook, we'll, share some things about the birth of Christ. But I'm gonna share some lessons on this particular topic. I think for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit wants to go in this direction and share through on this topic, and that's the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. And a lot of times, we think, work, as it shares in the scripture in Ephesians, it talks about the different offices, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, teacher, that are been raised up for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So often people think, well, that must mean some kind of ministry type work. Well, God looks at any type of work as the work of the ministry. Anything that he's raised up needs to be supported, needs to be tended to, and that's the work of the ministry. Anything, I would say almost the first type of thing as far as what I would call a work, if you look that word up in the Greek and you look up the word work, it says service. And so we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. We're to go out into all the world and to be we are the body of Christ, but then there's things that we need to do. We need to reach out to people that are in need, people that need prayer, people that need help, right? So that's part of the work of the ministry. I think sometimes people think we just sit back here during the day and just, as they say, the ladies say, do your nails, do your toenail, just sit there. You're just sitting back having a good time drinking coffee. If you walk in this sanctuary, you can see there's a lot of things that have to be done. So when people just show up and they go, wow, it's so nice, I guarantee you there was a lot of work that went behind getting it to some semblance of order. And so there's work. And so it's not just us now that partake of the blessings of having a place to assemble, but it's now in the electronic age that we have, we now have all of these mediums that we can now live stream things that now have to be supported. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? And so God has placed in the body graces and gifts in people that can help support that. To do what? Reach people. To minister to people in that way. And there's many ways. That's just one. I mean, you come into this facility, you see all the flowers and all the things that are done, the lawn and all that. Somebody had to do that. Not had to, but out of the heart. People that had a desire or a want to, they said, I want to help in that area. And so all of those things add to the, just, how many would just like to come in here and step over the garbage and the stuff and everything? You wouldn't last long. You'd go, ooh, skeevy. No, so all of these things are for our benefit so that we can sit comfortably, And all those things are not a what? A distraction to receive. So those things, I think the Holy Spirit wants to highlight, and I'm just sharing those things from this natural standpoint, but I want to point out and just walk through the scripture and see what did Jesus do during his earthly ministry. He came down here and he worked. He worked. And so that's why I was saying, you know, if we think we're going to get to heaven and not work, you're going to be in some kind of service to the master, whether you're on earth or you're in heaven. You're going to be at his beckoned response. I need you to do something. So the master is going to have us do some things here in this earth while we're here. And if Jesus doesn't return, well, then we'll be in heaven and we're going to be doing some things there too. So I hope you're excited about this because it excites me. You know, I think about just, I remember almost my first time here in this church when we were in Teaneck at the college campus there, the Lutheran campus on Pomander Walk in Teaneck. And I remember from almost day one when I walked in, I don't know why, it just was in my heart. I said, what do they need me to do? Well, how can I help? And that's almost from day one. They didn't have to go, we need your help, we need your help, we need your help, we need your help, we need your help. I heard it once and off, moving, going, helping. So, you know, and then through the years, because you're faithful and you're there, you're showing up, you're committed, you got more things to do. You know, you start singing, you start doing different things that help support the ministry. And so that's part of, you know, if you just go back, I know I'm motoring here a little bit, but if you go back and look at the life of Barnabas, Barnabas didn't start. He just came and sold his property. He sold his land and he showed up and he gave it to the apostles. He was just somebody that said, here. He was not a deacon. He was not an apostle. He was just a person that was part of society. Sold his land, and it came from his heart because he believed in the work that was being done. And then what happened? Who did he end up traveling with? Yeah. How about that? But he didn't start there. He started just following his heart. Not doing something grudgingly. Here they go again. Talking about money. He sold his land and his property and came up and placed it at the feet of the apostles for the work of the kingdom. And where did he get elevated to? He traveled with Paul. So a lot of times, see, this is where God, if you can't be faithful in a little thing, he ain't gonna give you something else. Because you'll not prove faithful in that which he really depends. How are you going to be faithful to travel with Paul if you weren't faithful in that little thing? God's watching your faithfulness. He's watching. When you say you're going to be there, you be there. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. And he watches that for a long time. And he watches for a while. Then he'll give you a little more. And then watch you for a long time with that. And then give you a little more. and watch you with that. Because when he gives something of magnitude, he's not giving it to a novice. He's giving it to somebody that's proven faithful. Faithful. You know, so I this means a lot to me because I've given my all to the master. When I said I do, you know, it's like when you say I do to that spouse, it's it. There's nobody else, and I'm committed to that one person. It's the same thing. When I said I do to Jesus, he it. And whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. It may pinch sometimes, but I'm going to do it because I want to be proven faithful. Because it's about getting glory to him. It's about reaching people, the people he died for. That's what I'm thinking. And the great, you know, we call this great end time harvest. There can be millions, and there's millions coming in now. Now's not the time to just sit back. I wonder what God wants to do. Get busy. Get busy. You say, well, I don't have time. I find you will do what you really want to do. And you will find a way to do what you really want to do. I remember when we were singing with the choir, Pastor Clint, he'd say, I'm not begging people to come sing in the choir. If they've got the talent, I'm not begging them to stay. He said, if they really want to sing, am I telling it like it's so, Ms. Denise? He wouldn't baby us. He'd say, look, if you got, when people are like, oh, you know, my job, and oh, you know, I got this stuff going on, and family, and all of that. He said, look, let's stay friends. I didn't make you come to the choir. You wanted to come sing. So he said, look, let's remain friends. He said, look, if things have gotten busy in your life, take an absence. Take a leave of absence. Go do that. What did Jesus say to one of the fishermen? He said, look, he said, oh, I got to go bury the family. He said, look, let the dead go bury the dead. If you're that interested, you follow me. And so that's Pastor Clinton, he put it on the line. When people start coming up, you know, oh, and this and that, he said, look, I didn't beg you to come. If you want to stay, great. But this is the deal. He said, if you're gonna sing in the choir, then you're gonna be here on Sunday morning at this time, and you're gonna be here on Thursdays for this rehearsal. Period. And if you can't do that, then next. That's the way he was. There's a few other here besides Anise. I say MB over here, she knows what I'm talking about. Right, Mary? Amen. So you'll do what you want to do. You'll make time. You'll find a way. You know, how many people say, oh, I don't have time to go on that cruise. I don't have time to get on that plane. No, you'll make time. You will make time. You'll make up excuses to get time to go and do what you really want to do. And so that's all. I'm not trying to hammer this, but, you know, I'm at a place now where I'm like, you know what? If you don't want to come and serve and do something from your heart, I'm going to believe God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there are people leading up to this, there were people coming that were not part of this ministry to help get it ready. Because God will speak to people to come that will help from their heart. And it gives glory to God. And I'm not trying to dump on anybody because I know there are circumstances and I do understand that. I do. I'm aware of that. But I can tell you, there are so many things that have to get done in God's kingdom. You know, I can tell you one thing. There are people that are in need of prayer. You can't tell me you ain't got time to pray. So it's those kind of things where we're talking about the work of the ministry. And God has equipped us to serve. He's given us His authority. He's given us His name. He's given us His word. He's given us the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us. So He's equipped us. So it's basically us-ins that have to get up and do, right? Glory to God. So I've started, so I know they can make whatever adjustments time-wise, but I've kind of shared some things here. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. This is, I want to read this in the King James, but the scripture ties or equates loving one another by serving one another. So when we say we love one another, that really means not from a distance. That means it's up close and personal. Right? So Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So when we love our neighbor, we're serving them. And neighbor, if you look that up, those that study the word, it just means anybody who's close, nibor, it means anybody close to us. The Amplified Classic translation says, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh or an opportunity or an excuse for selfishness. But through love you should serve one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied with the one precept, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself." So we've been set free, we've been redeemed for the purpose of what? Serving the Master and being directed by Him, but loving one another. So we don't do something because we have to. We do it out of love. We serve one another. And then the New Living Translation of this, Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." You know, there's a minister that I follow on Facebook. He was a former Muslim, and he lives right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And he has very large crusades in Africa. He's in his 60s, and he got out of, I think he was from the Pakistan area, and you know, his family, I mean, that's all been resolved, but at that time he fled to Sweden and then went to Bible school there and so forth. But they were out to kill him. His family was out to kill him, and they tried a couple of times. And but I like some of the things that he shares, which so scriptural. It's this kind of scripture. It's not the money. God gives us resources to do something with those resources. I'm not saying you shouldn't have things. I'm not saying that at all. You know, whatever you have, but when it gets hold of your heart and you don't have time now to be available to serve, that's a problem. And so it's not things, but when things get a hold of your heart, what the scripture says, you can't serve. What did Jesus say? You can't serve God and mammon. One of them is going to get your heart or have your heart. So it's not having something, it's not having things that's the problem. It's if it has your heart such that you don't have time to be available for Him, then that's a problem. That's a problem. So God wants us to have His attention. So we're liberated so that we can be of use. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We've been what? Healed. We have been given what? The fullness of the Holy Ghost. We've been given authority in the name of Jesus, that wonderful name. We've been given prosperity. And we've been given the leading of the Holy Ghost so that we can do what? Serve Him. So we can serve Him and be at His direction. You know, I remember years ago, Brother Copeland was, he told this story, you know, in a public setting. He was said, he was complaining and murmuring, you know, like God was giving him all these things to do. And he's like, God, why are you giving me all these things to do? He said, because I'm asking others and they won't do it. So I know you'll do it. See, this is being faithful. When you're faithful, sometimes God will give you more because others are not. They're not faithful. And so, you know, we want to be faithful. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:16. Just going to look at a few scriptures here. 1 Peter 2:16. And I'm going to look at this at the Amplified Classic. We're talking about being redeemed, being free, where we just read in Galatians 5:13, freedom to serve one another in love. But this is 1 Peter 2:16 in the Amplified Classic. It says, live as what? Free people, yet without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness, but live at all times as servants of God. So whatever we do, we need to be available. We are servants of God. He redeemed us. He owns us. You know, you want to use that term. So we've been made free to serve. And when we serve His people, we're doing it unto Him. So let's take a look. You might think, okay, where is that? Let's look at Matthew 25 and look at verse 35 through 40. Matthew in the King James. This is Jesus speaking. He said, for I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. See, we're serving people. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, the king shall answer. He goes, say, he been watching you. And now you're saying, hey, Lord, what's with this? When did we see this? And he said, I was watching. What'd he say? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. So the Lord takes these things that we do, he takes it what? Personally. So when we do it to his people, you're doing it to him. I mean, look at what did Saul say on the road to Damascus? And he said, what did the Lord say to him? Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to me? Why persecutest thou me? Me. He was beating up people. And he said, why are you doing that to me? Let's look at Romans 12:1. These are familiar scriptures, but I want to look at these in light of the work of the ministry. Romans 12:1 in the King James, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or some, in the NIV, it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. So worship, sometimes it's used as service. So when we hear ministry, we should really think service, shouldn't we? And the Amplified Classic, I like this. This expands on this a little more. It's in Romans 12:1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive. See, this is where is decisiveness made? From the heart. A decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and worship. Hallelujah. So a lot of times people hear worship, they think music, don't they? And that can be that. But when we talk worship, he's talking worship comes from the heart. Worship means I'm here to serve you, Lord. I'm here to serve you. That's worship. So this word service, if you just look it up, it means to attend to wait on. If I serve someone, I'm waiting on them. I'm rendering assistance. I'm being useful and of service. That's worship. That's service. I'm there to attend to what you want. Right? That's what we do with the Lord. That's what we should do. You know, I mean, if you're in a marriage, you don't go, well, just get my stuff for me. No, you're there to attend or to serve one another. You don't say, get it yourself. Wonder how that works. You know, I grew up in a house, I never saw that. Now, maybe you did, I never did. You know, my parents served one another. I saw it as a child. My father would be in there helping my mother in the kitchen. My mother would do the other things to help my dad, you know. So they served one another. That's the way it should be. So I saw that growing up. Now, if you weren't as fortunate to see that, maybe you saw stuff flying at each other. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that's the way it should be. That's the way it's supposed to be modeled in the home, so that we can then take that out into do what? Into society. But God is wanting us to do what? Love one another by serving. To attending to people's needs and desires. and their you know, things that they have need of. So when we're called, you know, your usefulness is your service, which is your ministry, which is your spiritual worship. So let's turn over, because I wanted to get over to Ephesians chapter 4 for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And let's look at this in the Amplified Classic. And then I want to look at this in the NIV. It helps to make it a little clearer. So Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, in the Amplified Classic, it said, "And his gifts," it's talking about the offices in the church, the gifts, he said, "Well, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers." Verse 12, what I want to focus on. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So who is to do this? Not the preachers, not the apostles, not the prophets or evangelists. It's God's consecrated people that are being, as it said here, fully equipped that they should do the work of ministering or service towards building up Christ's body, the church. You see. So it's for all of us to participate in the work of the ministry, being fully equipped to do that. So the gifts of the offices are to do what? Prepare the saints, prepare God's consecrated people with his word, with the anointing that rests upon those offices to equip us to go do the work of the ministry. Look at the New International Version of this, of Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Verse 12. "To prepare God's people for works of service." "So that the body of Christ may be built up." So now think about that. If the body of Christ is falling short somewhere, could it be that, and it can be a number of things, it can be traditional things where people just have this idea that it's not their responsibility. It's the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle. It's their responsibility. So if we fall short, could it be that the body is not fulfilling what God intended it to be doing? Because it says here, we're being prepared to do works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. How are they built up? You know, I mean, you know, Brother Hagin would say it this way when he was alive: sometimes people won't receive spiritual things until they're dealt with in the natural realm. They won't listen to anything spiritual you have to say until you deal with some things on the natural side. Showing people love and concern, not pulling out your Bible and telling them what thus saith the Lord. Maybe bringing a meal, maybe helping something in a person's life that shows, wow, you're different. And causing them to now seek out this God that you serve. That's building up the body. And so we need to think about that. So the work of the ministry, you know, is not something where we're not equipped to do that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 through 22. This is in the King James. Well, actually, let's look at this in the Amplified Classic. Ephesians 2 and verse 21 and 22 in the Amplified Classic. It says, in him. See, how are we going to do this? In him. That's how we're going to get the job done. In him. So it says, in him the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him, see, I like this, in him, this is how we're going to do this. In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, dwelling place of God in and by and through, how? The Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will empower us to do his work and to reach out and to love people and to reach out and touch people with the love of God. And that, what does it say? We're being built up into this structure. So the ultimate goal is to build up the entire body of Christ. That's what it is. John, I'm going to just a few more scriptures here. John 14 and verse 10 in the New Living Translation. John 14 and verse 10. It's a familiar scripture. This is Jesus speaking. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does what? His work, how? Through me. That's our confession today. It's the Holy Spirit in me doing the work of God through me. So the Father did his work through Jesus, and Jesus was continually aware of the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38 in the King James. What? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that our profession today? How we're anointed with the Holy Ghost? We should be going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with me. He's with me to do his will, his works through me. Right? John 4:34. This is in the King James. John 4:34. So I make this point. If Jesus relied entirely, and we know he did, on the ability of God, how much more do we need to, in this dispensation, trust God's empowerment to do whatever we need to do. So Jesus found, and I'm going to read this scripture, John 4:34, he found fulfillment in doing God's work. Jesus did. What did he say? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his what? His work. His work, his service, his worship. So we need to have the same thinking. So here's another scripture in John 17, verse 4. Jesus saw carrying out his assignment as a way to glorify God. So when we carry out God's assignment, you know, when we talk about glorifying God, when we love people, we're carrying out a commandment, an assignment given to us. When we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, we're following his example. We're following a command to bring our tithes into the storehouse. It gives glory to God. So what did Jesus say here? John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. He's praying to the Father here. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have what? Finished the what? The work which thou gavest me to do. Look at this in the Message translation. I like this. You know, the Message makes it real plain, doesn't it? John 17, verse 4. It says, I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail. Oh, boy. Some folks like detail. This is saying, I've completed the work down to the last detail, what you assigned me to do. Do we have that testimony? God assigned us to do something, and, well, I missed that. I wasn't faithful then. Was I faithful to carry out to the last minutest detail of things he assigned me to do? Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe you say, well, I don't know what he assigned me to do. Open the book. Open this book and find out. You'll read some assignments. Yeah. So a lot of times people are saying, oh, I want to be like Jesus. Then we're really asking him to help us be a worker. That's really what you're saying. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me. And he said, I glorified you, Lord, by doing everything you assigned me to do. So if you really say I want to be like Jesus, then you'll get busy. You get busy walking in love. And walking in love towards people that aren't so nice sometimes. Helping people. Doing things in the ministry. Doing whatever it is. 1 John 2 and verse 6. We're not familiar with this. He said, he that saith, he abideth where? In him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if we're going to be like Jesus, then we are going to have to be compelled by the love of God to work for his what? His glory, and according to his plan and purpose. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I just, you know, when I think about this, you know, now I've shared it before, but I'm thinking about, you know, we all enjoy music, and we enjoyed when Pastor Clinton would play and be used of the Lord. But he didn't start there. And then he yielded himself, and as he did, he added to him grace or graces to operate in a different level. But everybody being in place helped that work. I was in my place. I knew nothing about sound. And then I read, just having an engineering background, going to college through engineering school, but having some aptitude to be able to understand that, I got a lot of books, asked a lot of questions, made a lot of mistakes, and in no way came across like I knew something. I was always learning, always achieving, being around people that knew more than me, asked a lot of questions, asked a lot of dumb questions, and just put myself in a place to be of service, to help. And so I remember when we were, when we moved into this building, I remember, I began to learn the leading of the Holy Ghost more accurately by being in a place of service. Because you were a support to those who were on the platform. And God was begin to use them, and you're there to support it. Now, do you think he's going to lead those that are in the pulpit and not lead you? You're a dreamer. You're a dreamer. Because God is going to lead everybody in concert together to support what he's doing. So when Pastor Clinton would begin to play at the piano, down here in my inner man, there would be a stirring. It'd be like a stirring. I'd say, okay. And it was like, pay attention. Something's about ready to happen. An inner witness, a knowing, a stirring. Nobody was over there going, hey, something's about ready to happen. The Holy Ghost will begin to stir my heart. Pay attention to what you're doing because something's about to move. Make sure the recording levels. Pay attention. Don't have your head buried down, looking down when you should be looking up. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on toes because it's a pet peeve of mine. Pay attention. When you're on the soundboard, pay attention. Have your eyes up. Look forward. Because somebody's about ready to be used of God, pay attention. And God, the same way he's stirring those who have the gift of a psalmist, he's stirring the hearts of the support ministry. So you're not out here left out in the cold. I wonder what they're going to do today. No, he's going to show you. He's going to teach you. He's going to begin. That's the training ground. You want to step right in the pulpit? It don't work that way. You got to work in the trenches. You've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. You've got to serve somebody else. Don't get me started on this. You've got to serve another man's vision first and be trained. You've got to be faithful in that. And then as you're faithful, as God sees that you're yielding to him, that you're responsive, that you're observant, that you're being trained to know him. You know, we keep hearing Reverend Leanne, she said, I don't know you, Lord. I don't know you, Lord. Yes, you do. I see it when we have people come out and help to rake leaves or plant flowers. They come up and they'll share things. I'll go, that's the Holy Ghost. He's leading them too. And that's just as powerful a ministry as stepping out right here. Because it's the support of the whole. Every joint supplieth the whole. I'm sorry. I get passionate about this. But what I'm sharing is that, going back to Pastor Clinton, I learned that leading. I learned it. I'd sit back there and just say something. I'd know something before we'd even start service. It'd be stirring in me when I'm getting up in the morning. And I said, something's going to happen at service today. I don't know what, but something's going to happen. And he was alerting to me. Pay attention. Have all your eyes open and your faculties. Get things in order. Don't be sloppy. And so I remember sitting back there one time, and I heard this in my heart, just come fluttering right up. He said, I want you to take all these new songs that Pastor Clinton's getting, and I want you to know, we had cassettes. That's all. That was the best we could do. Now we have computers, and we can just, you know, record. But back then, it was on cassette. You're recording, and he said, I want you to take every song, and after the service, transfer it to another cassette. And I began to document it. The best we had at that point, I wrote right down the date, the name of the song, who sang it, and I'd write it down on a piece of paper, and I kept a binder. But I was faithful to do that. I didn't go, gee, I wonder what happened last service. No, I wrote it down at his direction. It wasn't something I dreamed up. I wasn't smart enough to do that. Because he had a plan. He had a purpose. He wanted to take that gift and those songs and bring them around the world, which he did. And so Pastor Clinton, when I handed it to him, you know, this had been going on for a while, and I told him what I was doing. He said, thank you so much. He said, I don't even remember what I sang. I don't even remember the words. He'd get over in the spirit, and he didn't remember. So he'd go back and take these things that were recorded and develop songs, and then we'd go in. Excuse me. We'd go into the recording studio. That's when we sang. Some of us here were part of that, and we were part of that, blessed to be a part of that, to record those songs that got on albums that went around the world. But it started, he didn't ask me to do that. He didn't come and say, hey, Edward, would you go do this for me, please? No, he didn't do that. It wasn't even on his mind. The Holy Ghost did. That's what I'm talking about. That sometimes those that are in these offices, their mind might be somewhere else, and God has a purpose. He got a plan. He wants to raise up this whole body to do something wonderful for him. But it's going to take all of us to do what? Be open. Be available. And if you can't, you can do something. I'm telling you, we haven't seen the magnitude of what's going to be accomplished. We haven't seen it all. The Holy Ghost spoke through Brother Copeland in 2003, just before Pastor Clinton passed. He spoke again here. He had these little flowers down here. He took buds off. He said almost the same thing. When he spoke to Pastor Sarah, he said, you have just completed the foundation of this church. And he said, all these many years, he said, you've just completed it. He said, some foundations take longer to build because of what it's going to have to support. Well, you know, that's a natural thing. You don't put a foundation of a house under the World Trade Center. If you look at a World Trade Center, it may go down 10, 12 stories underneath to support that which is above. So it takes a long time to build some foundations because of what it's going to have to support. And God wants to do something wonderful, marvelous through this ministry. We haven't seen the tip of it yet. But what he's doing is he's getting us ready. He's wanting us to say, wake up, children. Unhook, children. Be available to me, children. Because I'm about ready. He said, I need you. I need your heart. I need your service. I need your faculties. I need your talents and grace that rests upon you. I need it. For what purpose? To reach the masses of people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope this registers with you. I'm going to close with this. Pastor Clinton used to say this so often. Those that remember it know it so. He'd say, Jesus, finish it for me. Is our focus. That's what he'd say. Jesus is our focus. And kingdom building is our job. And that's what it is. Jesus is our focus. And kingdom building is our job. But it takes everybody, you know, just think about in Genesis when it talked about the Tower of Babel. What was it? What allowed them to accomplish that? They all had the same mind. They all said the same thing. They had the same heart. And God came down to confuse them because he said what? They'll accomplish what they desire, what they want to do. And I don't want this, so I'm going to have to disrupt it. But can you imagine if we get in line with what God wants to do and we're there? Oh, man. Oh, boy. What you can accomplish for God. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you got. Hope that stirred your heart a little bit. It means a lot to me. It just felt right. I wasn't even thinking about this yesterday, and it just kind of come up in my heart. It seemed right to share it. I believe as we end this year and we come into the next year, we're about ready to see we're seeing an explosion in the church and around the world. And God is saying, don't wait until, you see, here's the thing. If you've got to run a race, there's preparation involved. You can't go, oh, it's time to race. Too late. It's too late. It's too late. He's trying to get us ready to get prepared and ready in the little things so that he can give us more when it's necessary. So we're ready. We're ready. We're prepared. We're in shape. We're ready to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think so often when I reflect back on things that God has instructed me to do, little things, sometimes we look back and consider them so little, so minute, so minor, but it was the first step sometimes in training to hear him, to obey. Just something simple. And you begin to learn that inner witness, inner voice. And God can then begin to give you more. And he never overwhelms us, does he? He never overwhelms us with something that we can't handle. You know, I remember in choir rehearsal, Denise and Mary and those that are here, they'll remember this. when he would kind of fiddle around with a song, and he was, you know, you're a musician, you know, you try things. And sometimes he would march, you know, when he would try to, he's listening for a sound for a soloist, or a sound for a trio, or a sound maybe in the choir. He's listening for something. And what do? It's like baking. You go, nah, that ain't it. Chuck that out. Nah, we ain't doing that. Forget that. And so he would do that sometimes the whole rehearsal. He'd march the whole, all of us. He'd march us all out, say, okay, sing this, do this, thank you. He wouldn't say anything else. That was it. Right? Am I right? He'd try things, right? And he said this, I don't know if he said it publicly, I think he said it to me. He said, I'll never put somebody in a position to embarrass them. That's the heart of a leader. He said, I'll never put a person in a position to embarrass them. So sometimes a person might have a good voice, but maybe they weren't ready to be in front of people. So they get flustered. They'd forget their lines. They couldn't pull off the song. They'd get lost. Am I right? And he'd say, he'd never say anything, but he just wouldn't use them. He said, I'm not going to embarrass them. He'd say this, I'm not going to put them in a position to fail. And God's not going to do the same thing. Out of love, he won't put us in a position to embarrass us or cause us to fail. He's a loving God, but he wants our obedience. He wants us to take that little step, just that little step. And he said, thank you. They took a step. Now he'll give you a little more and a little more. He'll never overwhelm you. He'll never embarrass you. He'll never put you in a position to fail. So we just need to do the simple thing. Do a little simple task. Do something. And God will reward you for that. And then what are we the beneficiaries of? You know, so often people are saying, gee, I just wish I knew what God was thinking. I just wish I could be led by you. You know how I got to learn how to be led? Doing things. Doing things. Just obeying him with those simple things, which you end up looking back going, you didn't realize it was the Holy Ghost. You didn't even realize it was God speaking to you. And you get back and you're in the middle of it and you go, wow, that was God speaking to me. Yes, that's who it was. And the more you respond, the more sensitive you become. And you go, when it comes, you go, that was God. I don't have to think about it. I know. I know him. I know him. And it's all part of what? Serving. Serving him. Glory to God. He empowers us. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, it's exciting to me to serve God. It's exciting to serve him. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for this pleasure that we have, opportunity to serve you from our hearts, and we're grateful for it. We thank you, Father, for the thousands and thousands and thousands that you're bringing into the church, even this day. And we thank you that your word says when Jesus was on this earth, he said, the laborers are few. The fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the field. And so, Father, we pray this day that you send laborers into the field to do the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Well, before we dismiss, you know, if you're here today and you never made a commitment, you know, Jesus came to this earth as we've been reading, he came to do the will of the Father. His meat was to do his will. And so his will was that Jesus would come to this earth to redeem mankind that was lost, that was separated. And the only way he was that mediator, as the scripture says. Jesus said he was the mediator between God and man. And so he's came, he took our sins, and it says we were crucified with him and buried with him, and we were raised with him. And so all the Father is asking one to do is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Redeemer. And that he was raised from the dead. And if one believes that and speaks that and confesses that from their heart, the scripture says you'll be saved. So if you're here today or you're watching online and you believe that but never made a profession of faith, then this is your opportunity. Or if you've gotten away from God and you're not serving him, well, this is an opportunity to just get it right and ask him for forgiveness, and he will. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to redeem mankind. I believe that he is the Christ, the Redeemer, the mediator between you and mankind. I thank you that he shed his blood and that we were crucified together. We were buried together. We were raised together. And I thank you that when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. So now I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart, make something new of me, cleanse me with your blood, and I will serve you with all of my heart for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you said that simple prayer and you don't ever remember doing that, then you became born again. And if you did that today and you're here today, then just slip your hand up and they'll give you some information as to who you've now become in Christ. And if you're watching online, just get in touch with us. You can email us or call us or write us. And we'll send you that information free of charge. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got a little something out of that today. It's to me, it's always going back to the heart, because you can serve him not from your heart, and it's not pleasing to God. So whatever we do for him, it's got to be from this heart, this new recreated heart that is filled with the love of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.